Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thanks for listening. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, are your hosts for today. Hello, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan. I know what we're talking about today, this week. Pufferbelly Days over in Boone.
That's right. And Alyssa Knudsen will be with us here in a few minutes to tell us about all that will be going on starting Friday night. And one of the events will be the open house for the new home for the Boone Community Theater, where they'll be performing scenes from their upcoming performance of Pirates of Penzance.
Well, since you're talking about it with such excitement, I'll bet we'll have a preview of that today as well.
Oh, well, yeah, stay tuned. But Alyssa is on the phone now, so let's not keep her waiting. She really has a lot to tell us. Hi, Alyssa.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, Alyssa, this is Paul. Congratulations, it's Pufferbelly Days, and what year is it for Pufferbelly Days?
Yes, so we are on our 43rd year.
43rd year.
Yep, absolutely.
I can't do the math in my head, but that's, I don't know what date, what year it started, but 43 years ago, right?
Yes, correct.
Well,
yep.
when do events start getting underway over there?
So everything starts on Friday. We actually have kind of the beer tent and the food court and all of that stuff opened up at 5 o'clock, and then we have our opening ceremonies at 6 o'clock. So that's going to kind of kick off the whole entire festival, and then we'll go into live entertainment after that.
So the opening ceremony is at 6 o'clock, right?
Yes, correct. Yep, and during that we'll do, you know, sing the national anthem. We'll just do a quick little welcome, and then we also do the city presents their Citizen of the Year award as well during that.
Now, is that a secret, or?
As of right now, yes. So we don't know until, I guess, that evening.
So you're not going to do any spoilers today?
Nope, unfortunately we can't do that.
Well, then the live entertainment begins. Who's the live entertainment?
Yeah, so we have Pink Cadillac that night. They're out of Nebraska, and I would say they are kind of your classic rock band, cover band, so they're going to be playing a lot of the classics.
Well, I'm old enough to know what the classics are, so. And they're out of Nebraska, and
yes.
Have they performed before at Pufferbelly?
No, this is the first time we've ever had them, so we're excited to have them in town and see what they have to offer.
Well, I'm old enough to remember Pink Cadillacs, too, so I'm enthusiastic about that.
Yeah.
What else goes on Friday night, then?
So really, I mean, we have the photo contest display that's going to be going. We also have the carnival starts at 4 o'clock. We have the food court, like I mentioned. We also have in the beer tent, we're featuring craft beer from the Boone Valley Brewing here in Boone. So we've got that going. And then we also have our classic car show as well. That's going to be taking place on Story Street from 5 to 8 o'clock. And then other than that, we have, like, our bingo and just our live entertainment, like I mentioned.
And there's probably a variety of foods to be had, right?
Yes, correct. I think we are right around 10 different food vendors, and that's anything from Mexican to pizza to kettle corn. So we're kind of all over the board, so you'll have plenty of options for food.
So no one goes hungry on Friday night.
Correct, yes.
And we go way into the morning hours. What time does the stage shut down?
So that actually, we stop serving at 11:30, and then everything kind of closes down at midnight.
So Pufferbelly Day starts big and wonderful on Friday night with opening ceremonies, live entertainment from Pink Cadillac, and all kinds of other activities. Now, how soon do we get up in the morning on Saturday?
So it depends on, I guess, what activity you're looking to do. The earliest we have is our 5K run, so that's going to be at 7 a.m. on Saturday, so we get started bright and early with that. And then I'll kind of just run through the schedule with you a little bit here, but we've got the craft fair opens up at 9 o'clock, and then obviously on Saturday, that is the Pufferbelly Days Parade. That is, I mean, one of probably the largest parades in the state, I would say. We're over 100 different entries, so we're excited to see what everybody, I guess, comes with for their floats and everything. This year's theme is Peace, Love, and Trains, so it's kind of a 70s theme. So excited about that. And then throughout the day, we have our bags tournament, we have a motorcycle show, spike driving contest, we're doing tailgate trivia. Typically we have, we air the Iowa-Iowa State game, but since it's not on this weekend, we decided we're going to do some trivia with Iowa-Iowa State, kind of facts and whatnot. And then we have bingo still, and then we have the live entertainment that night as well.
So who's the live entertainment Saturday night?
They are called the Dweebs, and they kind of cover all sorts of different stuff, from the classics to all the way to today's hits.
What's the name of that band, the Dweebs?
The Dweebs, yes.
How do you spell that?
Yep, they put on a pretty good show. I mean, they come out in full costume, and they are very lively and entertaining.
And so the theme this year is Peace, Love, and Trains.
Yes, for the parade, it's Peace, Love, and Trains.
And Pufferbilly Days is all about trains.
Yes, yep,
and
absolutely.
I assume the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway will be running all day too, right?
Yes, they're going to be offering rides as well. So if you're interested in doing that, definitely give them a call. They will be able to kind of walk you through the schedule and let you know kind of what that looks like. But they are going to be offering train rides throughout the day as well.
Well, now, is there anything going on Sunday?
So on Sunday, yes, we still have plenty of fun going on. So we start the morning off with, we do a Pufferbilly Days church service downtown, and then we also have a disc golf tournament. We have the craft fair is still going on, mud volleyball. We have our bike ride, which we do two different rides. We do a family fun one, which is just through kind of the park here in town, and then we also do a long distance one, which they go from Boone all the way out to the Iowa Arboretum and back. We also have our Family Fun Day, so that is, we're calling it Touch a Truck. So we have all sorts of different vehicles and trucks and, I guess, equipment that are going to be on display for kids to kind of climb on and, you know, sit in and honk the horn and just kind of explore. And then also we have, the carnival still is going on, we have $15 unlimited wristbands from 11 to 3 on Sunday. And then we have our pet show, we have the lip sync battle, spelling bee, and I think that wraps up all the events on Sunday.
You have a spelling bee. Now, how do you qualify for the spelling bee?
We actually have all different age categories. So we have young all the way up to adult. You just show up, you can register the day of, and then obviously we'll give you some words and you kind of work your way through the process.
And so it's not just for kids. We have people of all ages in the spelling bee.
Absolutely, yep.
And I hope the words get more and more complicated, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
Well, now, Alyssa, how many volunteers are usually involved? It's a raft of people, right?
Oh, gosh. It takes hundreds of people to pull this off. I mean, from all of my event chairmen to all the volunteers for that specific event to, I mean, my steering committee to my logistics crew. I mean, there's hundreds of people that, you know, dedicate some of their time to help us out, and I'm very appreciative of all of their hard work, and we couldn't do it without them. So, I just thank everybody that is involved.
Well, Susan and I have done a lot of road trips. We've promoted and participated, actually, in a lot of community festivals throughout the central Iowa and Story County area, and I just think that Boone, that Pufferbilly Day is going 43 years, that's a task that has to be done every year. And you must have a lot of loyal volunteers to make that happen.
Yes,
and I know it takes a raft of people who are volunteers also to keep that Scenic Valley Railroad going. So
yes.
I think we should just call Boone the volunteer capital of the Story City, or not Story County, in central Iowa.
There's definitely plenty of opportunity to get involved and to volunteer around here. So
sounds like you're going to have a great festival.
Yes.
And I think some of the highlights are, if you look at any age group, there's something for you to do and something to do constantly. And the carnival, that runs both Saturday and Sunday. Is that open on Friday night, too, the carnival?
Yes. Yep, it's all weekend. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And so they're the traditional rides that carnivals give
yes,
you.
Yes, correct. So they'll have the traditional rides, and then they have also got kind of the games and whatnot. And they've got a few kind of like their lemonade stands and popcorn and whatnot. But
and the parade starts at 10 o'clock?
That's at 9:30 on 9:30. Saturday.
9:30, that's a pretty early start for a parade.
Yes, well, it's a very long one. It's, I mean, typically probably around 2 hours or more, so we got to get started
so
early on those.
So it's a two-hour parade? You must have a lot of units then, that parade, marching bands
yes.
and all that yep. sort of thing.
Well, yes, we do.
I have a question. When I saw what the theme was, I wondered, how are you going to do that? I mean, I don't know what a parade theme is. It's like, what is there going to be a lot of music coming out? How do people show peace and love. And
yeah, so with their entry, they are judged on a couple different things, but one of them is the theme, so how they incorporate the theme into their floats or their entry. So I've seen a couple pictures already from a few that, you know, they've got painted flowers and peace and love, and they've got a train, and it's just kind of 70s tie-dye and, you know, that kind of thing. So they really, it's just kind of judged on how you incorporate that into your float. So you have free range to kind of take it as you want and make it however you want, but that's definitely one of the criteria if you're going to be judged as an entry.
How did you come up with that theme?
We actually kind of struggled with the theme of the parade this year. We kind of went back and forth a few times with some different things, and I guess I don't even know how we came about it, but we Googled kind of big monuments, or I guess things happening this year, and one of them was the anniversary of Woodstock. And, you know, I Googled that, and it came up with peace, love, and music or something like that. And I was like, well, why don't we do peace, love, and trains? Because obviously Boone is a railroad town, and so it just kind of all developed randomly. But peace, love, and trains, just because it's the anniversary of Woodstock this year.
Well, I wondered if that had something to do with
yep.
it.
No, that's very timely, and I lived through that era. Susan, you did too. You remember all that kind of stuff going on in the 70s, psychedelic music, not psychiatric music, and all the bell-bottom trousers and the things that were thankfully no longer part of our wardrobe. So this is going to be sort of a rolling Woodstock without the nudity, right, Alyssa?
Yes, correct. Family-friendly.
Family-friendly
so
Woodstock.
You can bring your kids, and there's nothing that they'll see that will be offensive.
Yes, correct.
Well, it sounds like a great family time. And Boone Pufferbilly Days, I didn't realize it went back almost a half century now.
Yep, and, we're getting close.
You're at the Chamber. How long have you been at the Chamber, Alyssa?
This is my fourth year coordinating Pufferbilly Days.
And so you are a veteran. You know what you're doing. You know how to recruit people and organize committees.
Yep.
And someday there's going to be a statue of you in the park, right?
I don't know about the statue part, but I have learned a few things along the way.
Well, anyone who's been in a small town festival or a festival in Iowa, we just think that, you know, Boone Pufferbilly Days sort of sets a high bar for everybody else. So you can be proud of what you do. You can be proud of the longevity of the festival, and you can be proud of what your efforts are, too. I think that everyone needs a leader, and everyone needs a coordinator, and everyone needs someone who knows what everyone else is doing. And apparently that's you, Alyssa, right?
Yes, it is. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I think it's going to be fun, and I think Boone Pufferbilly Days, you know, is going to be fantastic this year, as it always is. You've assured us that it's going to be fun.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on, and we have a little music to set the scene for Peace, Love, and Trains.
Sing the country song. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. Nothing you can know that isn't known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. There's no way you can be that isn't where you're meant to be.
Well, in case you just tuned in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We're exploring the people, events, and stories in Central Iowa. I'm Paul Wearson, and we are done with Alyssa Knutson from Boone. She was the Chamber of Commerce person coordinating Pufferbilly Days. And, oh, it's the 43rd edition of Pufferbilly Days. Sounds exciting. And I think we're going to have a good time here, too, because we're moving on to the next segment, and that is Pirates of Penzance playing four members in the Boone Community Theater. They're in the studio now. And welcome. Please introduce yourselves, the cast of Pirates of Penzance. We'll start on the far end.
Hi, I'm Corianne Westfold, and I'm playing the part of Ruth.
I'm Joe Zimmerman, and I'm playing the part of Frederick.
I'm David Michael, and I am playing the part of the Pirate King.
And I'm just Homie, and I'm just a pirate.
You're just a pirate. Don't say just a pirate.
Nobody's ever just a pirate.
Don't minimize the rule. Blackbeard would be offended, you know.
Arr.
It's some arr. Yeah, we're going to talk pirate today. Well, welcome to the studio, all your pirates. Now tell me, Gilbert and Sullivan, that's fun to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you all having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of fun.
Now, when did rehearsal begin?
Ooh. Oh, gosh. They did. Our director really wanted plenty of time to work with all this because it's a pretty big cast, and, of course, it's an operetta, so there's like 30 songs. And so he had auditions in June. Right? Yeah, and we pretty much started to get together in end of June, early July.
First week of June were auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've been in intense rehearsals all this time.
Yeah.
Yes, intense is a good word for it.
Okay. So now, Joe, tell us what your role is.
I'm playing Frederick. He is the pirate apprentice who is just out of his indentures.
He's an apprentice pirate?
An apprentice pirate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gilbert and Sullivan, that could be tough to do. Mm. It's a lot of intricate music, a lot of words squeezed into a few pieces of music.
Very much so.
And so it does require some discipline. Mm-hmm. Now, that's written for full orchestra. What's your instrumentation?
We're going to have a piano and a small orchestra.
Wow. So. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun.
We have not met the full orchestra yet, but we're definitely dealing with the piano player and some of the intros and surprises that come with that.
Well, you know, I've been in community theater, and it's just fun. And you put it together gradually. And the hardest mm-hmm. thing to do is to get the orchestra together mm-hmm. in a timely mm-hmm. way so you've got it all set up. So for a while, you work with a piano player, a keyboard mm-hmm. player, mm-hmm. and you work that out. And then late in the game, here comes the full orchestra or whatever you're going to have for instrumentation. It's ambitious. And now there's an open house. What's going on with that?
Oh, that'd be me. Yes, we are having an open house this Friday for Puffability Days from 5 to 8. And we are going to be doing a sneak peek, possibly, for Pirates of Penzance. And we are also having a 1970s costume contest. Because the Puffability Days is...
The theme is peace, love, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, peace, love, and trains. And so they thought it would be really cool for us to have our open house, have, you know, folks to come into our new place and check out where we're at, located at now on 705 Story Street.
So you're right on Story Street downtown.
Yep.
And tell us about this performance area. What's it like?
Well, we kind of... That's a very good question. It's a smaller space than what it was at Garfield, or where we were originally located. And we have enough space just to have a small cast. We are about, 24 members in this cast? Mm-hmm. And then some areas to hold our... some of our costumes and lights and stuff from the old place. But it's,
so this is a brand new performance area.
Yes.
And it's different than the performance area before.
Yes.
Right. And that influences what productions you do. You're not likely to do sound and music
no.
at this place.
No.
Well, right now we use the office space for auditions and practices. Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty much up to each director to find a venue to put on a larger performance. And so this one is going to be at the Fellowship Hall of the First Presbyterian Church, correct?
Yes.
In Boone, because it's a little bit bigger. And he really, really wanted to do this in the round. And so we needed quite a bit more space than what's available in the office space right now.
So the performance will be done where?
At the First Presbyterian Church Fellowship Hall.
And what are the performance times and dates?
I will pull that up.
It's going to be this weekend, right?
No.
He's a funny guy.
It's going to be. But you see, basically, we're talking about how many performances?
We are doing 5 performances. Thursday, the 19th at 7 p.m., which is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I can enter that.
Yes, that's right.
Put the yard arm.
So if anybody, if you haven't got your ticket yet or anything, and you show up that night and you're dressed as a pirate and talk like a pirate, you get $5 off.
Wow. Right.
So that'd be Thursday the 19th at 7 p.m. Then we are Friday the 20th at 7, Saturday the 21st at 7, then Friday 27th at 7, and then we have Saturday the 28th at 2 p.m. So we have one matinee.
And you are doing this in the round.
And we are doing this in the round.
Now, what are the challenges about being in the round?
Wherever you are, your back is going to be to an audience member.
Yeah, no matter what happens.
Yeah,
you have to work the crowd.
That's right.
You're
always turning, and you want to make sure that everybody sees all your faces. And so for me, the biggest challenge is just making sure that I'm not standing still too much. And we have a saying, when in doubt, face out.
Or turning on top of a box.
Or turning on top of a box and not looking down.
Well, what are some of the songs in that show? Refresh our memory for Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, well, of course. I am the Pirate King.
We defer to the king.
I am the Pirate King.
He's got his lines down.
But there are several songs people would recognize.
Oh,
probably Cat-like Tread.
Cat-like Tread,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
Never Never. What's that song? Never Never. No.
Well, the Major General song. I think everybody probably has heard that.
I am the captain of the pin. Is that the one?
I am the very model of a modern Major General. Mm-hmm. I've experienced it. Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Look at all the words that are in there. Fantastic.
I have to insert a story because there was a man. Known to many of our listeners, Charlie Hammer, who sang that in Pirates of Penzance decades ago in Ames. Uh-huh. And he was so proud of it that he requested that that be sung at his funeral.
Oh. Wow.
Or his memorial service. Needless to say, it's not exactly a funeral song.
Yeah. Well, now, this is your opportunity to let us know if you want to take any of these songs and have them played at your funeral.
Oh.
So each of you have a featured song, is that right?
Yes.
Where you're the star and you're on the stage and...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Joe has to be at almost every practice. Every
rehearsal, yes.
That is character. That,
because I sing with the pirates, I mm-hmm. sing with the daughters, I sing with the police, so mm-hmm. I sing with all of them.
So you have a lot of stage time then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And everybody loves their role and you're fleshing out the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's the general plot here? Refresh us on Pirates of Penzance without doing a spoiler.
Without a spoiler.
Without a spoiler. Oh,
nobody's ever seen Pirates of Penzance, so there's no way we could spoil it for the production.
Frederick is the pirate apprentice, and his indentures are ending, and he's leaving the pirates. And he's not leaving them on the most well of terms.
Leaving us?
The whole concept of a pirate apprentice sort of suggests hilarity here, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so Gilbert and Sullivan, that's performed now for a long, long time, and mm-hmm. you don't see it very often anymore. So who chose this? Who was the main force about bringing back Gilbert and Sullivan?
This was all Christopher Levi.
Is that right?
Yes.
And he's the director?
He is the director. His son Gershom is the musical director, and they are just two peas in a pod on this, watching them work together and bring their entire vision into creation is something to behold.
Well, you know, we're looking forward to it. Now, we can't mention ticket prices, but where can you get tickets?
You can get tickets online at www.boonecommunitytheater.org. And we are also, if you come to the open house on Friday from 5 to 8 and meet us, then you can also purchase your season tickets there.
Is there a website?
Yeah, www.boonecommunitytheater.org is where you can go and get your tickets.
That's your key, because no one expects you to memorize everything we've said today.
Right.
But let me tell
yes,
you,
please,
this is a delightful cast. I love Gilbert and Sullivan. It's wonderful, challenging music, and this is going to be performed at the Boone Community Theater, and basically we're talking about a weekend, two weekends away, right?
Yes.
So you still have some rehearsal time, and everybody has their whole part down pat. There are no problems.
Oh, no.
Of course not. No, it's great. We are totally ready.
Yeah, well, Pirates of Penzance coming up at the Boone Community Theater. They have an open house also. Good luck to all of you, Joe, David, Corianne, and who am I missing?
Homie.
Well, Tony, okay. Pirates of Penzance coming to the Boone Community Theater, and everyone show up because, number one, these are talented people. Number two, you need to know who Gilbert and Sullivan are and their wonderful music. Boone Community Theater coming up. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Do you want to do a song?
That was fun. That was fun.
No singies.
Thank you.
That's just...
Oh,
isn't the only place in central Iowa that will have a festival this weekend. Yesterday, Tuesday, at 4 p.m., about 30 people gathered with enthusiasm at the corner of Douglas Avenue and 5th Street for the unveiling of the new inclusive intersection of four colorful crosswalks. Many helped to cut the colorful ribbons, including Mayor John Hala, Dr. Reginald Stewart, Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion at Iowa State, City Council members, members of the Ames Human Relations Commission, and others. This is all in preparation for Pride Days, which is coming up Saturday. And here are a few moments from the recorded ribbon-cutting ceremony, beginning with Mayor Hala speaking.
Each crosswalk features gender non-binary pride colors. The crosswalks on the north and south sides is the pride flag with an addition of the brown and black. The west crosswalks right here features pride transgender colors. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Stewart. He's going to offer a few comments, and then we'll go ahead and cut the ribbon.
Good afternoon. Oh, no, that's not how we do it at Iowa State. Good afternoon. There we go. Hey, this is a celebration and very joyous, and I want to convey and communicate how extremely proud I am of Ames, Iowa. So I just have a couple of things that I wanted to share. President Winterstein has stated that we strive to make Iowa State University the most welcoming and inclusive land-grant university. And projects like this show exactly what we mean by intentional and deliberate. So it's been 50 years since Stonewall. 50 years of advocating for basic human rights. Now, 50 years for some folks may seem like a blink of an eye, and for others a very long time. But who would have thought 50 years ago that a small town in central Iowa would be saying this: we see you, we hear you, we welcome you, but most importantly, from this moment forward, we will also include you. So I want to thank everyone who came out and participated in this. We're always looking for new partnerships, new initiatives, new creativity. Don't hesitate to call our office and reach out. It seems as though this is just paint on the ground, but I don't want you to think of it as paint on the ground. When you think of this intersection, think of it as the new welcome mat to our city and our home. Thank you.
All right, we're going to cut the ribbon. It's here in front, and we'll go ahead and use these small scissors to cut the ribbon. All right, ready? One, two, three. Yeah, you want a piece of ribbon? Come on up. We'll give you a cut. We'll cut a piece of it.
Wouldn't get that, would you?
Not my first. I'm Bronwyn Beatty Hansen, and I'm City Council member at large. I'm happy to be out here today. I'm proud that we were able to get these sidewalks in before Pride Fest, but just also proud that we're able to have them and show our inclusivity for LGBT Pride and for transgender Pride and gender non-binary. I think it's a great step for inclusiveness and diversity in Ames.
I'm Nikki Port. I work in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion at Iowa State. This is great. Our office works really hard with the City of Ames to try to make Ames a better place for not only our students, but our faculty and staff, who are often citizens of Ames. And so this is just another step where we can connect and make Ames a better place. The message is that we see you, that this is just one small visibility piece for the LGBT community. So we know there's more than just visibility. We need to work hard to make Ames a better place, and this is just the first step, this visibility.
Dr. Reg Stewart, Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion at Iowa State University. This says you're welcome and you're included. This is a wonderful opportunity for Ames, Iowa to show what inclusion means, a visual demonstration. We had a lot of conversations about the different approaches that you can use. There's policy work that we do. There's recruiting retention work that we do for employees and students. But this was also unique. Many major progressive cities have something similar, and we wanted to take just a small amount of time to do something that just affirms the importance of people in our community.
You anticipate any pushback?
There's always pushback.
Mayor Hala stopped by KHOI after the ceremony to explain how the Inclusive Corner of Inclusive Crosswalks developed. Ursula Rudenberg spoke with him.
Dr. Reg Stewart and I have been building a strong partnership over the last 24 months. He's the Vice President of Diversity and Inclusivity at Iowa State University. And just multiple conversations we've been having, he knew that we were very open as a city to try and communicate a truly an inclusive, welcome environment in the community. I don't know exactly where he was exposed or noticed painted crosswalks that have occurred in other college towns and other communities in the nation. But he and his staff wondered if the city would be interested in taking a lead on something like this. So he came in my office a couple months ago, I think it was, and I said, absolutely, this is something that it's very clearly would fit within the council goals, which is to be building inclusive in one community. And we talked to the traffic engineer, said, hey, we'll make sure that we don't do anything which would jeopardize anything in terms of either safety. He was extremely supportive. I mean, all of our staff has been outstanding in terms of everything from the city manager down to traffic to public works. They have really been supportive of it. So took it to council. Council, absolutely unanimous vote. So the goal was initially to try and get a permanent heat-applied thick material that would have a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year lifespan. Went out to bid. Project came in way over budget, primarily because short timeline, only had one bidder. These companies are extremely busy in the summertime. And then we decided, okay, well, can we paint it in anticipation and before the Pride Fest, as well as the start of school, as well as still have great weather? You know, $60,000+ was a pretty large amount to invest. So what we're going to do is we agreed to go ahead and paint it for right now, and then we're going to take bids again this winter and hopefully get multiple bids and get it within a very reasonable amount, and then next year come back and replace those with a more permanent installation. So these paint is going to last probably about a year or less, depending upon how bad the winter gets and the amount of traffic that goes over it. You know, close the intersection down today, and our own staff procured the paint, did the Pantone color match as close as they could, and then striped it today.
And can you encapsulate the message?
Everybody is welcome in Ames, regardless of who they are, their background, nationality, you know, what they believe in. It's to send a message. It's a welcome mat. Well, it's a welcome invitation to people and to say, hey, we want you to come and call Ames home. And it's also interesting that is, you know, the intersection of culture as well, too. We have KHOI is very close to it. We have the Ames History Center, the Octagon, we have the library. And it's also the main intersection where Pride Fest occurs as well, too. So it seemed, you know, very appropriate in terms of its location.
So it does follow the gay pride flag, but it's much more.
That's correct. Now they've added black and brown bands of color as well, too, to acknowledge, recognize black and brown Latino. And we've already started talking about what else can we do in the community to welcome people from other nationalities, Chinese, Latino. I think we want to send a strong message that Ames really wants to demonstrate that we are an inclusive community, not just in word, but in deed and in an action. And we believe this is a way to accomplish that, to make that statement. It's a very significant move. And also, we have some different colors on both sides as well, too, for transgender and also gender non-binary pride colors, and then the pride transgender colors. It's my understanding that this may be the first installation in Iowa of with all of those, and there's not very many communities that have all is represented in one intersection.
Do you anticipate any complaints?
Yes. Already had some. Objections to it. Cost or spending taxpayer dollars to send such a message, and some that are, I would consider to be, what's typical in culture today, not agreeing with certain lifestyles or choices.
But this seems to be a commitment being made by the city.
A commitment to inclusion, absolutely. I just want to continue to reinforce all the city council members have warmly and enthusiastically embraced it, and the votes have been unanimous in how fast can we get this done. There's been no second guessing about it. It's one more step, and There's going to be some other opportunities coming up that we're working on between Iowa State and Dr. Stewart's Office of Diversity and Inclusivity. We're going to be working on other initiatives to really start modeling how we can be inclusive and build relationships and build community in our city with people who we may not know and who may not be like us.
Thanks to Mayor Hala for that very strong statement affirming diversity. And it's extremely appropriate at this time because the very next day, Ames' second Pride Fest will be held on Douglas Avenue between Main Street and 6th Street on Saturday, September 7th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. There will be a stage set up at the end of Douglas backing up on Main Street as there was last year. Last year there were some pretty striking performances, so I'm looking forward to stepping out from KHOI and looking at them as we did last year. And we have Janet Vine and Sally Daub here with us to discuss why Pride Fest is important. Hi to both of you. Thanks.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. You also are sitting at a booth, is that right? You have that responsibility for Pride Fest. Well, can you describe the booths and particularly yours?
The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Ames is sponsoring a booth at Pride Fest. So we will be sitting at that booth along with a number of other volunteers from the fellowship who will be staffing the booth. And we'll be there all day welcoming people and looking forward to meeting attendees at the festival.
Well, last year, what impressed me about the booths was this number of them and the variety. And I noticed that there were many other religious groups besides the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship that had booths.
Right. Correct. And I expect they'll be there this year, too.
Oh, yes. Yes. And Ames has changed quite a bit in the last few years.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's become much more inclusive and openly supportive of the community.
And people, you know, willing to take risks. I mean, for example, I don't think that the UCC Church expected that the God is Still Speaking Pride banner would be torn down and burned.
Correct.
So there is, Ames is accepting that.
Yes, yes. Both the good and the sometimes negative repercussions, yes.
And we're not scared off.
That's correct. We will soldier on.
And so why do you think that's important to have a Pride Festival?
I think it's important because for years the gay community has been in the shadows, and it's really important to have this opportunity for us to be acknowledged, to be supportive, to support one another, and to have an opportunity for our allies to be there and support us as well. So it's a happy time for us.
Well, I think the main thing here is visibility.
Correct.
You know, yes. People see this, and people who are, well, let's say that you're a teenager and you're struggling with your identity and you haven't come out yet or indicated anything about some of the things you're discovering for yourself. You walk down the street and you see this. Well, this is something that makes you think a little bit about, hey, I'm not alone here. Mm-hmm. I've got people who will accept me, and maybe I can do things to reveal who I am without threat. And no matter what people immediately around me think, there are people in the community who will support me and be my allies, because these things have always happened. We know that people have always had, there have always been sexual identity differences in our world, in our society. And a lot of these people were very alone. And for a lot of the time, most of the history of our civilization and American history, a lot of these people have ended up taking their own lives or having all kinds of crises where their life just went off track because they felt alone and unaccepted. And so I think that anything the community can do that's visible, a lot of the effect you have will be invisible. because you don't know what young person might walk through there and say, I'm okay. And over time, I think what's happened in terms of acceptance of the, of, and I don't call it a lifestyle, because it's an identity, okay? Well, last polling numbers I saw said 60% of Americans support gay marriage. And so there's been a vast attitudinal change that had to begin somewhere. Because 20 years ago, you'd really be vilified out here if you did this. Mm-hmm. So look at the sea change that's happened in the last 10 to 20 years. And I think that that began with folks like yourselves who begin to step out and say, hey, this exists. This is reality.
Sally, you talked to me, by the way, Sally and Jen are married. And Sally grew up in Iowa. And so would you like to talk about the changes and why pride is important?
Well, you just described my story. Growing up here in Iowa, rural Iowa, and there was nobody like me at school in my community that I was aware of. That was a hard time growing up. And today, the reality is the kids are still struggling growing up in communities, rural Iowa, all over the country. And there's such a need for people to be out there saying it's okay to be who you are, to show that acceptance and care and concern about them as individuals. Suicide is a very real thing for people who are gay and transgender. And we need to address that by being there to support people in the communities. I imagine that we're going to have a lot of people travel from around the area to come in. It's not just for Ames. It's Pride celebration for everyone. So I hope folks will turn out and be supportive.
Well, I think it's a great enterprise, and I think that, number one, it exemplifies some of the changes that have gone in our society. Number two, it's an opportunity to educate people, because there are people who are genuinely open, who might have rejected this idea, who, when they come to this event, might second-guess what they've always thought about sexual identity, for instance. But it goes beyond that to anyone who is different. So we're talking about multicultural things, too, and we're talking about immigrants, and we're talking about minority groups in general, because the general red thread that runs through conflict and human relations is fear of the other, fear of someone who's different. And that might take on the cloak of many things: color of the skin, cultural background, sexual identity. And only in the last few years have we begun to address this. And, of course, a lot of things have brought it to the fore with the crisis about immigration and all these issues that come up. And it all goes back to the same things that have been conflicting with the human experience for its whole history, and that is fear and hatred of the other. You can find it in the Bible with all the terrible tribal conflicts in the Old Testament. And so it's always been there. And so has sexual identity. And when you reveal that the person who painted The Last Supper, Leonardo da Vinci, was gay, okay. And so a lot of people aren't informed about that, or Tchaikovsky, or some of the famous figures in history that we found out were in fact gay. Well, that's educational for people, because that was concealed or not general knowledge before. So fundamentally, it's education. And I'm just picturing some young person who drives down here from small town Iowa and sees something that gives them the encouragement to go on, to go on.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
That's valuable. So a lot of the impact you're going to see from what you're presenting will be invisible to you. You have to take that on faith, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Ames Public Library also has a full schedule of events, starting with logistics of care, accessing mental and primary health care as a trans or non-binary person, which is in the Rotary Room. There are also activities in the auditorium, and there's an exhibit. But look them all up on amespride.org/schedule. That's amesprid.org/schedule. But I think also this is important at this time because the issues of the gay community have changed in my lifetime hugely. And even I think gay people are amazed by many of the changes. In fact, I've recently talked to Mark Cassis. I don't think he'd mind being quoted. He and his partner, Terry Lohman, his husband, Terry Lohman, were for many years the managers of Luca Lunz, a popular restaurant in Ames, and of Pizza Kitchens. And he said the other day, you know, they keep adding initials, LGBTQIA. Yes, and last year when we had a live forum at KHOI, and there were new concepts, what's non-binary, and something that I concluded many years ago that was everyone's sexuality is just a little bit different and individual. Yeah. It's not like there are two or three or four. There are many, and people change during their lives for many reasons. Yeah. And
it's going to be the Pride Fest. That'll be held on Douglas Avenue between Main Street and 6th Street on Saturday, September 7th, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And there'll be a stage set up at the end of Douglas backing up to Main Street. And that's coming up. And thank you, Jan and Sally, for being here today to talk about that event and all the issues surrounding all the things we talked about in terms of sexuality and multiculturalism. And you are folks who are making a difference. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
In case you just tuned in, this is KHOI, and you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Paul Grierson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Alyssa Knutson, Lahoma Simmons, Joe Zimmerman, David Michael, Corianne Westfold, and Jan Vine and Sally Daub.
You can listen to this show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org.
Local Talk was engineered by Paul Hertz. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was from the operetta Pirates of Penzance by Gilbert and Sullivan. And
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. And if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us or call if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow donate button.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contribution are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and
see you again on the radio.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process, starting with Iowa, first in the nation. The Iowa Democratic Party has a problem. For those who don't know, the caucuses take place on an often brutally cold February evening, and they last hours. This isn't doable for everyone. In 2016, the caucus turnout was just 15.7%, and the Democratic National Committee is now mandating caucuses be more accessible. The Iowa Democratic Party proposed a telecaucus, where people could phone in their candidate preferences. Nevada, another early caucus state, planned to have something similar, but the DNC has decided that both Iowa and Nevada must look for a new solution to low turnout.
The caucus, you have motions, you have debate, and there's no way to carry that out in the proposed telecaucus. The wheeling and dealing that goes on in a caucus is a very real thing, which causes people to take into account political considerations, which you don't do in just stepping into a polling booth, checking off a box on your ballot.
University of Iowa computer science professor Douglas Jones agrees with the DNC. He co-chaired an Iowa City caucus in the last election and studies election security. More on that later. But despite the historical low turnout and the DNC's new directive, modern Iowa caucuses are more inclusive than they once were. In our Ames studio, KHOI's Ursula Rudenberg went back in time with Richard Bender to talk about his part in forming the modern Iowa caucuses. While the Vietnam War was raging in 1968, there was a close vote on an anti-war plank of the party platform, but it was shut out by local caucus leadership. Then, anti-war delegates were maneuvered out of the state convention.
That was not viewed as very fair. And that created quite a bit of anger. Similar events had happened in Woodbury County and at Wapello County in earlier years. This was not a rarity that you had, you know, one side frozen out.
That changed when Bender got a job working for the Iowa Democratic Party in 1970 and proposed a new system of proportional representation.
You wouldn't have one side with a very thin majority getting almost all the delegates. In January of 1972... I was the sole person doing the counting of all the caucuses in Iowa. We had two phones at Democratic headquarters. I borrowed a calculator.
But despite technology's advancements, the solution to non-hackable remote voting hasn't yet been implemented. Again, Professor Jones.
There is no what's called a public key infrastructure, which would be a cryptographic framework which we could run on as a nation that would allow us to be sure that people are who they say they are when they're dealing electronically.
Jones said he thinks that voter verification will be one of the biggest obstacles to remote electronic voting of any kind. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.